Hello, welcome to the English program here with me, Steve. We are broadcasting live, audio boo time, and we're on to chapter, if you can believe it or not, chapter 6 now. Yes, that's right. It's true. Chapter 6 of A Ball at Pemberley. We're going to do the whole chapter and then sort of break it into little bits of 5 minutes. So it depends how many five-minute bits there are, but we are estimating between 5 and maybe 6 episodes for this particular chapter. Okay, so here we go with the first part. And don't forget, your comments and thoughts and everything can be sent to us via our Twitter page, twitter.com/EnglishRadio. Here we go with Chapter 6. Miss Morland was not the only guest of Pemberley to hear Mrs. Bennet's odd way of displaying her feelings of sadness. News of disturbing natures have a near magical way of becoming known, no matter how diligently secrecy is attempted to be enforced. As it happens, Miss Fanny Price's chambers were in the same vicinity, and the young lady herself exited the room precisely as the drama unfolded. A sweet-tempered girl was Miss Price, known to all as one unassuming and frankly dull, yet unbeknownst but to a treasure few. Miss Price possessed a sharp intellect and keen interest in human interactions. Of course, one need not be highly intelligent to conclude that something momentous was afoot. Approaching the two Miss Bennets, Miss Price inquired with due solicitude and consideration of respect as to the situation. Miss Kitty breezily waved her hand and continued to examine the flutter of her skirt as she danced. Miss Mary, however, did respond. Some news of our cousin, Mr. Collins. Yet before she could say further, if there was more to say, Miss Price did not know Mrs. Bennet returned to the room. "Oh, girls, I have something to share with you. Mr. Collins, interloper and despicable stealer of our home and very existence, as he was, has met his fate. He is dead. Before my dear Mr. Bennet, who I surely thought would pass before, so now we are saved from losing all, if..." But her words of glee died upon her lips when the door burst open, shocking them all. It was Mr. Wickham. "I demand to see Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bennet immediately," he cried. The entire company was agog. Lydia, who flounced into the ballroom at the same time, wore an expression her sister Elizabeth recognized too well. "What on earth can they mean by coming here?" asked Elizabeth, who knew only too well that her husband would be horrified. "I have come to claim my inheritance," demanded Mr. Wickham. "Now that Mr. Collins is dead, I think you will soon see I am entitled to the deeds of Longbourn House." "Yes, isn't it wonderful, Mama?" cried Lydia. Who would have guessed that Mr. Collins' mother had such a colourful past? "Because, you see, Mr. Wickham, it turns out, is Mr. Collins' brother." "What are you saying, Lydia?" said Mrs. Bennet. "How can you talk such nonsense? But tell them, Wicky, it's true, is it not? And if I choose, I may turn out all of you into the hedgerows. What do you say to that?" Mr. Darcy chose this moment to walk into the assembly, demanding to know what on earth was going on. As soon as he saw Mr. Wickham, his expression changed. Never before did Lizzie think she had seen him look so grave. "Now look here," Darcy began, his firm jaw set with an air of defiance and his eyes flashing at such a scene. However, before he could commence with his speech, Lizzie let out a squeal.